Shishi of Chayi Sara. So there's a lot of marriage and a lot of shiduchim going on in Chayi Sara. Even though the parsha starts with Avela, starts with the loss of Sara, but a lot of the rest of the parsha is about Freilich Hazachin, is about marriages in different contexts. And until now, we're reading about Yitzchak's shidduch and marriage, and a lot of synergy that could be found, some of which we've referred to, that comes out of the whole mission of Eliezer to obtain the shidduch, or possibly do more than that, possibly actually to be Mekadesh Rivka on behalf of Yitzchak. So now this Aliyah opens up, and that has happened already. Yitzchak has now returned home with his bride. So what happens after that? So the pasuk begins, V'yosef Avram v'yikach isha u'shma keturah. So first of all, Avram gets remarried. Why does he get remarried? After Sarah has died, some Mefarshim have different understandings, which also goes a little bit to the whole philosophy of marriage, what it's for. So is it that he wanted to have more children, as we see that he does? Is it that he was looking for some assistance in his old age? And he lives a significant period of time after Sarah dies. Or is it simply lo tov heoso levado? He doesn't want to be alone, so even without other considerations, he gets remarried. So he marries Keturah. So who is Keturah? So here there is machlokes. Keturah is either Agar or someone else. Very good. So either Keturah was a new person, or Agar was Keturah and Agar were the same person. It's interesting in the Targum Yerushalmi, so you have this language. It says it's Hagar. It says Hagar the Havas Asirale. So this is Hagar who was Asira to him. So what does Asira mean? So in the Targum Yonasan, he says Asira means Kishura, like Kedushin. Right? Kedushin is what connects people. So the same Hagar to whom he was married before, who was tied to before, so that's who he remarries here. And we're back with Kamenetsky, again drawing on linguistic abilities that you see in very few other Rashi Yeshiva. Again, his Sefer and Chumash is really one of a kind, that MS Yaakov. They recently just came out with a volume on Nach. He really had an unusual kind of, again, for a classic Rashi Yeshiva, he had a Bekiyas in Nach and in Diktuk that really is unique. So Yaakov said that he doesn't think this is correct to say that Sira means Shura, because he says that's only true in Hebrew. But in Targum, it's not the case. It doesn't have that kind of meaning. And the footnote over there, which I think were written by his grandson, so the footnote says, actually, maybe it was a pasuk in Daniel, it sounds like it does mean that, but leaving that alone, that's what Rebecca writes, that this is not the implication in Aramaic, it's only the implication in Hebrew. So he says, he suggests that the reference to Asira is Asura, that she was on some level Asura to him. Now, why was she Asura to him? So parenthetically, without even getting into this, there was a whole discussion about how is it that he was able to marry a mitzvah. So why should he not be able to marry a mitzvah? Because there's a mitzvah about that. And we assume that the Avos kept Kol Torah Kula. So there's a whole discussion in certain types of Sfarim that focus on things like this. Does this really apply to him? Does it mean that the mitzvahs can't come into Kal Hashem? The Avos were not Kal Hashem yet. Did Avram have the status of a ger, which would have made a difference? Do we say that it only applies after the mitzvahim actually have enslaved us, but before that there is no issue? So there is a significant literature, a little bit, on how could he marry a mitzvah, aside from the previous situation where Sarah the Nevi'ah had commanded him to. But now, in the absence of that, so why should there be a justification for that? So that's a discussion in some Sfarim. But Yaakov was focusing on something else. So he says that it's ushered to him because Sarah, that aforementioned Nevi'ah, Sarah said to him, Garesha Sama, you should get rid of her, you should divorce her, you should send her out. So Hashem also separately said that everything Sarah says, Avram should listen to. So apparently there is an Isser. So how do we know that the Isser has been rescinded? How do we know that there's anything different now? So then he goes on to explain to Yaakov that the concern was because of the legacy of Yitzchak, that the continuity should go through Yitzchak. So now that Yitzchak has come back with his bride and taken up residence, so that's enough reason to assume that this original Isser no longer applied, and at that point it was mutter to take her back. Which also gets into other questions. Some of the first we'll talk about at various points here, that if he was going to remarry her, maybe he should remarry her a while ago. You know, so what exactly kept him waiting till now, especially those who say that Keturah is a reference to Ketores, and just like Ketores smells nice, so too she was not a Maaseh, she was a Tzadekis at this point. So if the only reason he sent her out in the first place was because of the Sakana that Shmuel presented, so by now Shmuel is no longer living with her, so it really shouldn't be a problem to bring her back, so maybe Alpi Yosher should have brought her back a while ago. So Rebecca doesn't ask that question, others ask that question, but he ties the timing here specifically to the return of Yitzchak with his bride, so that could theoretically address that also. Okay, so fine, so he remarries Keturah / Hagar, if that's what it was. And they indeed have children. Vatelebo as Zimran, Vyas Yokshan, Vyas Medan, Vyas Mejan, Vyas Ishbok, Vyas Shuach, Vyokshan, Yalad, as Shva, Vyas Dedan, Ufne Dedan, Hayu Ashur, Lotushu, Mulumin. So a few psukim here of just names, so you think there's not much to say, except that this pasuk in the middle, pasuk Gimel, pasuk Talib is also names, but pasuk Gimel, there is a little bit of a machlokas as to what the last part of the pasuk means. So were those names, in which case you have Shakur Chmanasana, or maybe they were nations that they ended up being the heads of, that these were the heads of nations, and that's a reference to the people, and maybe that's why they're all plural. Or in some of the Farshim, they understand it to be names. These were professions that they did. And that's what these references are. If you look at Rashi over here, and you look at Oklos, they talk about this a little bit, whether those last words are names or other types of references. Next pasuk though is names. Of the name Midjan, Eifo, Voifer, V'chanoch, V'abidah, V'eldah, Kol Eila, B'nei Keturah. Okay, so then continues next pasuk, V'yitein Avram, Es Kol Asher Lo, L'Yitzchak. So, here Rashi notes the interpretations here, that some say this is just an act of Yerusha, basically, or pre-Yerusha, that he gave over all of his property to Yitzchak, with the exception of the gifts we'll read about in the next pasuk. Or Rashi says here, a little bit of foreshadowing, that he gave him the power of the brachos, that he should give the brachos to whoever he wants. Again, that's a foreshadowing, because we know that coming up, that's going to be a big plot element, so to speak, of the whole Yitzchak, Yaakov, Esav dynamic, so that's perhaps being referenced here. The next pasuk tells us, Ulevnei ha-pilakshim asher la-avram, nosan avram atanos, v'yashalchem ayal Yitzchak b'nobo, denuchai, kedma l'eretz kedem. So here, the sons of the pilakshim. So pilakshim is a reference to apparently really just really one with reference to Keturah. So Rashi writes here, Chasek Siv, Shalhais Ela Pilagish Ahas, Hi Hagar, Hi Keturah, Nashim Iksuba, Pilakshim Below Iksuba. So Nashim, normally a wife means there's Iksuba, and Pilagish means that there is no Iksuba. And this is actually a whole discussion in the Gemara and Sanhedrin. And if one really was going to get into the, I was tempted, if one really wants to get into the intricacies of Pilagish and Isha, so there is a lot of synergy to draw upon, and the question was how to allot time just to score synergy points, but the question of where Kedusha Bia is enough and where is it more, there is a fascinating statement of the Gra for those who are attuned to this kind of avort, that says that the idea of, and the Gemara says that you have a man and a woman, each for Isha. So zacha shchina b'nehem, lo zacha eish b'nehem, right? That if they are meritorious, if they treat each other properly, so then the shchina is present, And if they're not, so then the Shekhinah leaves, apparently, and there's fire between them. So what's pshat? There's fire? So the Vilna Gaon commented that what's the difference between Isha and Esh? So Isha has a Yud, and Isha has a Hey. Otherwise you have Esh in both cases. So those two letters are half of Hashem's name. Right? And where do you get the rest of Hashem's name? So that comes from the Ksuba. So the Ksuba says, really, again, like if you're into this Mahal, that's the Vilna Gaon. So the idea of the Ksuba, he said, what's a Ksuba? What kind of word is Ksuba? Right? A Ksuba really is a Ksav, is a written document. So it has an extra vav and an extra hey. So, sorry?
It's Pinyan Ka'ul or
something. So it's an interesting kind of Mahal here. So the Ksuba takes the other vav and the hey that's required to make Hashem's name, and when you have the Ksuba, which represents this level of commitment, so between that and the ish, that's where Hashem's name creates the Shekhinah. And without the Ksuba, so you have an incomplete relationship, so you have a half of a Isha. So what's that? That's a Pilegesh, Palgesh, right? So a half of Isha, so to speak, but without the Yud and without the Hey. So, right, so you get Palgesh. So, in any event, again, there's a lot to darshan about this, but that's some of a little taste of what's commented over here. So, he gave them Matanos. So, what's Pshat on the Matanos? So, there's a lot of discussion as well. Pshat Shafal Hirsch notes that the point is to say that Matanos is kind of tokens, but this was not the Yerusha that Yitzchak gets, Yitzchak Ikare, that the whole spiritual legacy goes through Yitzchak. And Rav Shafal Hirsch has a comment here, how you see, in some ways, he writes, we have it harder than Avram had. Because nowadays, we're expected, we hope, as Hashem, that we raise all of our children in the tradition. And we don't just focus on some of them. We hope that all of our children will be raised in that mahal. But in the time of Avram and Yitzchak, so they literally were against the entire, it's not just cultural challenges, they're against the entire world. It's just them. It's just them. So you couldn't save everyone, so to speak. So they had to focus, and that's only until Yaakov you get Mitoslo Shlema. So you see this highlighted here a little bit, that they had one stream within their children that carried on the tradition and not the others, and that's what you see here as well. Rashi also quotes an interesting idea here on the Matanos. So Rashi has the language, first he has the language Shem Tuma, which unfortunately have a very hard time knowing what that's about. That's a lot of discussion. And then he goes on to say, Dover Acher Mashen Nitain Lo Al Yidei Al Lashnitin Lo Al Odo Sara. That the presents that he got in the story of Sarah and Paro, right? That she gave him Matanos, so he gave them away to the sons of Keturah. So the Znaim Latorah has a comment here. That's Luskarab. He says this is a strange thing to do because the whole idea of Ksubas ben Indichrin is really going to her son. Why should it go to the son of a different wife? That's hard to understand if it all came b'schus Sarah. So he suggests, Litzgerab, that so these were given by Paro when Paro thought he was taking Sarah. So since he gave Sarah back, really he should get the Matanos back. But he didn't ask for them back, and that time the Ram still needed them. So he didn't give them back. And now he realizes, or he feels he should be giving them back. So what does he do? He gives them back to Pharaoh's grandchildren, right? Because if Hagar or Keturah was the daughter of Pharaoh, so then giving it to her children is essentially returning it back to Pharaoh. He also quotes an idea that also the other Matanos, maybe the idea was that since there was tension, as we know, between Sarah and Hagar, so giving some of the wealth that he got because of Sarah to the family of Hagar, maybe that's a way to reconcile, maybe that's a way to calm the tensions a little bit. Okay, so here this next pasuk, So there's a lot of discussion in the unusual language. The pasuk says, "Ve'eli mei shnei chayei Avraham asher chay, ma'as shana v'shiv m'shana v'chamei shana." So these are the years of Avraham asher chay. Why does it say asher chay? So many svarim try to figure out what's going on there. The Nitziv, the Yerachayim, and the Yerachayim has a comment, like the Tavis Yaakov also discusses, that maybe it's like we find this language by Adam also, and we have a tradition that Adam was supposed to live a longer life than he did, but he gave some of his life, some of his years, to David HaMelech. So too, Avram Avinu was supposed to live 5 years longer. But, as a Rachmanis, he died a little bit earlier, so he shouldn't see Esav go off the derech. He shouldn't have to confront that, shouldn't have to be aware of that. So he died a little bit earlier. So the language of Asher Chai is as opposed to what he was originally destined to live. He had a little bit of a shorter life. For Moshe Feinstein, the Sefer on Chumash is a different mahalach here. He says and wants to emphasize that he lived, so to speak, all of the years, even though we know that he wasn't born knowing about God, he only came to God at a certain point, but because of the intensity and absolute nature with which he did that, so he was credited l'mafreya with those years also, and that's the language of Asher Chai. Okay, so it says, Me'a shana v'shev m'shana v'chamei shanim. So this language, it's a little bit of a parallel to the beginning of the parasha, right, where we were told that Sarah lived 100 years and 20 years and 7 years. And Rashi over there tells us how there's a relationship between the 100 and the 20 and the 7. So here too, he says the 5 is set aside to say that just like at the age of 5 he was without sin, so too at this age he was also without sin. And the Sefer Tosefis Brachas, he adds on, okay, so it's good to be like a 5-year-old in terms of no sin. But what's the chap of being like a 70-year-old? So when he was 100, he was like 70. What does that mean? So he suggests it means that he was still in his kayach. He was still just in the same kayach he had when he was 70. So too, he still had that when he was 100. And so what does that mean, a kayach of 70? So we just elected a 70-year-old president of the United States. You see that the person at that age can be ready to take on the big things. So he had that's what the man apparently was alluding to. That's what he had at the age of 100. Doesn't mention that specifically. But, side of footnote, yeah, to have that in. So, in any event, the next pasuk says, Vayigva vayamas avram, seifa tova, zakein, visaveya, ve'asef alamav. So then he dies. This language of Vayigva, Chazal tell us, is a language fit for Tzadikim. And the idea of the language of Seva Tova Zake Visaveya. So Saveya, the Ramban, has a comment over here that he was satisfied, that he had everything he wanted, and that this is the nature of Tzadikim, that they're not chasing luxuries, they're not looking for mosros, not looking for above and beyond. And therefore he was satisfied. And then the Sam Derech, has a comment to the whole little drasha about this. How you see that with everything else that Avram accomplished, at this time of his hesped here, the Torah giving him a hesped at the end of his life, that was significant enough to be the thing that was mentioned. The fact that he was Sameach B'chelko, the fact that he was satisfied with what he had, that's something that is a tremendous source of credit. Now, what about this language? Ve'asef elamav. So he was gathered up to his people. So Rav Shem Shimon Fal Hirsch has a whole drasha on this point, where he says that you see, this is how people spoke at that time, that when somebody passed away, they would say he was gathered unto his people, which, what does that mean? Where are his people? Somebody's just dying. So it means that we're talking about the soul being reunited with the souls of others of his nation. And therefore, it's a reference to the immortality of the soul. And he has a whole drasha there. You see that that was just taken as a given. He didn't need proof. He didn't need to display that the soul was immortal at that time. Like other things, the Torah doesn't spell it out or go into details about it because it was understood by everyone. And it was only in later generations that there was a need to fight about this and to prove it and the like. There are others who understand this phrase differently. So, for example, the Radak says that it means that he followed the path of his ancestors. So that's what it is, Elamah. Okay, so...
And why?
Well, it's said in different senses for different people, but here that... So Avram changed... that's a good point, actually. He's saying that if Avram really didn't change, didn't follow the Vodazara of his ancestors, but he followed other good things about his ancestors, he followed the good mitos. You know, we find earlier in the parasha, it's a big theme in the parasha, just because you're asking this question, which is a good one, but it probably connects. We see that when Avram wanted the shidduch for Yitzchak, he said, I don't want any of the women from around here, and you should go back to my family. So the Ran and the Ben Abach and others asked, but his family wasn't so great either, right? His family, we were of the Avodah Zarah, they were idolaters. So why did he prefer that? So they say here that you see that midos are more important than hashkafa. That even if they happen to be idolaters, but they raise their children with good midos, so then that we have to mark it on. Hashkafa we can deal with. But the midos, that's not something that comes so easily. It's an important yisod. So if that's the case, so then maybe apparently they had good midos. They were nice people, but they also were Ovdei Avodah Zarah at the same time. Okay. So Vayikbru also Yitzvak Yishmal Banav El Maras HaMachpela El Sde Ephron Ben Socher HaChiti Asher Al Pnei Mamre. So he's buried by Yitzchak and Yishmal, by his sons, in Maras HaMachpela. So first of all, the idea apparently that they did this together, so it sounds like they got along at that point. They were able to at least come together for the funeral. But Chazal, the Gemara Bava Basra, and the Medrash, Rashi quotes, says more than that. That not only were they able to get along, but you see from here that Yishmael did tshuva, and that Yishmael showed deference to him, and the Pasuk suggests that Yitzchak was allowed to go first. And the Medrash has a comment here that the son of the Amma, the son of Hagar, gave kavod to the son of the Gvir, to the son of Zara. And apparently he did tshuva. And later on, we see also in the next Aliyah that by Yishmael, the Pasuk also says Vayigva, which we just said a second ago, is a lashon of Sadikim. So there are indications that Yishmael did tshuva. So some of the Svarim point out, and here the Son Derech has a whole essay as well. First he points out that it's very hot in here. Then he goes on to add that it's amazing how there are certain similarities in the different eras. And then he goes on to say that this whole idea, this is a proof that Yishmael, all the terrible things that he was said to have done by Chazal, so now because he let Yitzchak go first, that's the sign he did tshuva, and ultimately we see that apparently he really did complete tshuva. So, I once saw Dvar Torah once, I don't remember the details, if you can find it, but I think Rav Yonasan and Aibshu said somewhere that one of the rayas from the Psukim, that Yishmael did tshuva, is based on Yid Gimel Midos Shatar and Adrashus Behem that Rav Yishmael teaches us about, which is why he's named after Yishmael, because if Yishmael didn't do tshuva, so it wouldn't make sense to use his name for... So the idea that Rabbi Shmuel is named after Yishmael is itself a suggestion that Yishmael did tshuva, and somehow it ties into his shita regarding the Gilgul Midos. So, in any event, question about that?
No, back to the Yitzchak Yishmael Mary together. Would that be something that like siblings would say, like, I know we have differences about certain things?
Right, you can imagine them already coming together. So here, the focus really isn't just they were together, but the focus is specifically how Yishmael, who's the older one, right? Yishmael shows deference to Yitzchak and has Yitzchak go first. That's what Chazal picked up on. So on that point, this is where some Derech and others comment that the whole history that we have, that Yishmael went on a bad path for a while, starts with the idea that there was this cynicism and this disrespect from Hagar and Sarah, from Hagar to Sarah, and back and forth. And that quality, as the Bali Musar often point out, that's really what makes it very hard for anything else to get through. Some Seals Sharm writes, somebody has a little bit of cynicism, it's very hard for all the Musar in the world to make a difference. And so too, when the when you go the other direction, when you have the basic respect and deference, so then there's a possibility to learn from someone. And therefore, this midah, which shouldn't seem to be enough to correct all the other bad stuff that's associated with Lishma, the point is that, yes, it is the first step, because it was the first step on the way down, and it's the first step on the way up, being able to have this proper reverence and respect. Okay, so then the pasuk goes on. Here, just for a little synergy, the emphasis of the kinyan of Stei Ephron, Hasad, Ashokana, Avram, Yesh, Mecheis, Shama, Kubar, Avraham, Vesari, Ishto. And here, this reminds us, again, also of the kinyan for our source for our Kedushin, but also that, indeed, this is one of the places that our ancestors made sure to pay for and to do everything in an official, formal way, even though God had promised it to them anyway, and yet, of course, this remains one of the most fought-over areas, as tends to be the case. So the last pasuk tells us, Vayihi achrei mos Avram, vayivarech Elohim es Yitzchak kino, vayeshev Yitzchak in be'er l'chai roi. So here, so Avram dies, and Yitzchak gets a bracha from God. So what's the bracha? So Rashi tells us in one day, it's Nichum Aveilim. And that this is possibly the source of Nichum Aveilim, because we have all of Midos, all the Chasadim rather, we have sourced as an idea of Halachta B'Dracha, that we should imitate God's ways. So when we're told that God engages in a specific Chesed, so then that serves to be a source that we should imitate God and do that Chesed as well. So Nichum Aveilim is modeled by God, and we're apparently supposed to follow that. Soloveitchik and his drashos noted that, you see, it's interesting that the parsha is about the death of Sarah, and yet we don't see much discussion about Yitzchak mourning Sarah. It's now that Avram dies, so now he gets a Nichum Aveilim. And he used it to emphasize the idea of, you know, the vein Isha Mesa Labaila, that there is a unique relationship between spouses, and that the loss is felt in such a profound way that it obscures the availus that was happening between mother and son. And the Torah focuses, especially in the context of Kavura and the obligations involved, focuses specifically on the Avram and Sarah relationship. And we don't hear much about Yitzchak, and only now, when Avram dies, we hear about Yitzchak mourning. And the idea of the bracha, Tifar Shlomo, he points out that the Iker Nichum Aveilim is to convince the person that there is a future, that there is a Tchias HaMesim, and that therefore they should take Nechama in that. And Chazal tells us also that Yitzchak was the one who wrote the Mechayim Mesim. So the idea being that here Avram is such a unique figure, so what can you say? It happens to be an article in the Sura Journal where the quote of Soloveitchik as bringing various points to maintain that the mitzvah of Nichum Aveilim, it's a whole discussion of what the mitzvah of Nichum Aveilim is. So, is it enough to just come to the Shiva house? You're supposed to say something? You're supposed to comfort them actively? So the Rav understood that you have to try to make them feel like there is a source of Nechama. So that source of Nechama is this belief in Tchias HaMeisim. The Sfas Emes has a comment that when we say Ritzei on Shabbos, so we refer to God as the Baal HaNechamos. So he's the Baal HaNechamos because he is uniquely able to be Menachem. So here, this idea of God modeling Nichum Aveilim, if the whole idea is you're supposed to give someone hope for the future and give someone comfort in that sense, so we try to imitate God, but we don't have that kind of authority to give that message. It's really God who can do it in the ultimate way. And when we say Malachta B'Dracha, we mean that we know we're limited as human beings. We can't do what God can do, but we can seek to try to copy that midah the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu would do it. We try to do things in as close a fashion as possible. Perhaps that's what's suggested here. And there are other interpretations of this bracha as well. Rashi also quotes the idea that even though, as we mentioned before, with that foreshadowing point, that Avram had been given the brachos to pass on to his children, but he was afraid to give them to Yitzchak because he was afraid that Esau was going to come next, and didn't know what was going to happen. So he didn't actually pass them over. So then God himself gave the bracha, and that's what this pasuk is suggesting. And the Radak writes here that Akash Baruch Hu gave him haslacha. That was the message here. Okay, so that's the general idea that we find in Shishi. So